So good morning. Yeah, my name is Nicholas Mwangi, and I've been a member of this church for over 10 years now. It has been a blessing to be a member of DSBC Church. Today, we continue with the series, Broken People, Big God. And since this series began, it has been a great, great blessing to listen from our pastors, Caleb and Pastor Dawn, take us through this series. And this thing that has been in me all through, as I get blessed listening to them, and it has been giving me the two sides, and I believe that it has also been for each one of us who have listened to our pastors go through it. On one side, broken people, and on the other side, a big God. And every time when I'm listening to this, it has just been going through me of how, as human beings, we are always on this side, broken people. And then on the other side, the great hope that we have in this big God. And I am sure that even as we are here today in the church, or the ones who are following online, we might be at this point of brokenness, or you might be listening to me when you're so broken. We are broken by different things that happen in our lives. Sometimes we are broken by our sins, which makes us feel broken in guilt, in shame, and in unworthiness. And it might be you are even seated in the church and you are at that point where you are feeling you are so broken because of your past or because of some of what you have done in your life. And it's, there are some other times we are in this side of a broken people or a broken person because of the things that we are going through our lives. Sometimes it's because of the disappointments, frustrations, diseases, lack, shame by people. Sometimes it's because of being let down, or it might be just a kind of a disappointment. Many times, personally, I have found myself in it. Sometimes it is because of something which I did not expect. And many times, there are sometimes I have thought, because I have a big God, then everything will be okay, and in my life, it shall be. There is a time when I was young in faith, I believed that because I am born again, I believe in Jesus, then everything will be okay in my life. I had read the word which says that Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. And therefore, I walked in life with this kind of an expectation that now that this mighty Jesus, the miracle-working God, the one who is able to raise the dead, when we read the scripture, he says he is with me, he is walking with me, and therefore, any time I call him, it is scriptural that when you call me, I shall hear you. I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. But then I realized that even with those promises, there are some times I wake up and I have to go through disappointment. Some other times I've cried and I'm saying, Jesus, and with expectation of an instant miracle. But then I remained broken because there is something that I expected and it never happened. Some other times is the disappointment by the people that I trust so much. And I know that this morning we might be at this side, broken people. But dear friends, brothers and sisters, allow me to start the sermon with, or actually to start my sermon from the back than to the front, because this is what the whole series has been having. We are here, but on the other side, we have a big and a mighty God. And today, as we continue with the series, right from the beginning, I want to jump that despite of being on this side of brokenness, we still have a big God. We still have a mighty God who is able to see us through our brokenness and heal us and restore us and give hope. So if you're listening to me, And perhaps you came to church when you're so much on this side of brokenness. May I start the sermon by saying there is the other side, a big, big God. And this big God is able to strengthen us in our brokenness. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, from verse 18, it is early in the ministry. Jesus is just starting his ministry. And as he is starting his ministry, he starts by making an announcement of what he has come to do. And he is trying to make it clear, this is the reason that I'm coming. You know, the good thing with God is that he knows the things from the end, and not just from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. And as you are listening to me, may I tell you, he knows you. He knows from the end, he even knows your end. And scripturally, he knew it from the end. He knew that there will be that time of brokenness. Many years before Jesus Christ comes, he gives that kind of a hope through the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 61, he already starts talking about this Messiah, the anointed one who will come. And those were many thousand years before Jesus Christ came. Fast forward, coming now to the New Testament, in Luke chapter 4, after Jesus is baptized and he's about to start his ministry, he reflects back to what had been prophesied about him. And he quotes exactly what had been prophesied about him. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what had been prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 61. So here he comes, and he's talking about, this is why I am coming. So in verse 18 of chapter 4, the King James says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news in our brokenness. And the King James actually uses the word brokenness, because after he has said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news, Jesus continues to say, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has, and Jesus has come, and he's saying, for this reason I have come. So in our brokenness, in your brokenness, in my brokenness, the other side of this series, when we are here, Jesus says, this is the reason I have come, and I am anointed for that purpose, to heal the brokenhearted. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope in your brokenness. Surprisingly, we have got no choice of making ourselves not to be on the broken side. And the scripture doesn't show us that we will never or will not be on the side of being broken. In fact, even when Jesus was with his 12 or with his disciples, it looked so nice for them. They knew that whatever challenge they would face, they had seen him as they walked those 3 years, and they had known that when Jesus is with them, he is a miracle-working God. When they faced the challenge of the demons, he was there to say, get out, and the demons could leave. When they are faced with a crowd and it is hungry, Jesus could just say, bring what you have. They get 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he feeds thousands. They face a sick person, and Jesus could just heal. It looked so good. But then in John chapter 15, when Jesus is approaching his last days on the earth, he surprises them, because instead of telling them it will be all sweet and it will always be good, in chapter 15 of John, from verse 18, he surprises them with some shocking news. He's not just promising them it will be well, it will be sweet, it will be good. But then he surprises them from verse 18 of chapter 15. And he breaks some news to them, and it is the news of persecution. And he tells them, you will face tribulation. You will face problems. And he tells them, the world will hate you. He tells them, you will carry your own cross. Then he tells them, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So when he's going to chapter 16 of John, verse 1 of chapter 16, he starts by telling them, I am not telling you, paraphrasing just before the actual words in chapter 16, verse 1. It's like, I'm not telling you this to scare you. I'm not telling you this so that you may be afraid. So the exact words then in chapter 16, verse 1, it is, I am telling you these things in advance. It's like chapter 15 from verse 18, brokenness, brokenness. They will hate you. They will persecute you. They will even put you in prison. They will hate you without reason. They did it to me. They will do it to you. And then in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1, it is, I'm not telling you to be scared. So he tells them the reason, and he says, I'm telling you this because for sure these things are going to happen. So I'm telling you in advance so that when those things happen, you will not fall astray. So that you will still remain, your faith will remain, you will remain still having faith in me. So he says, you will be broken. And then I like that in chapter 16, he starts by telling them the Holy Spirit of God will come and he will give you the strength. But then in verse 33, which you can put on the screen, John chapter 16 and verse 33, now he's concluding that part by saying, I have told you these things. I'm using NIV there. John chapter 16, verse 33. He concludes that by telling them, I have told you these things so that in me you may find peace. Broken people, in your broken part of it, Jesus says, I am telling you it will happen so that when it happens, you may have peace in me. And then the last part of that verse is so encouraging because he says, in this world, you will face many troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. As we continue with the series today, this is the part of the greatest encouragement that we can face, that when we are on this side of brokenness, Jesus says, take heart. When you are in that brokenness, take heart. It is true, you will face many troubles. You will face those disappointments. You will face those things that will make you feel broken. But take heart, for I have overcome the world for you. Some of the verses of the Bible which encourage me is the one which says, the battle does not belong to you, the battle belongs to me. And that's what he's saying in John chapter 16, verse 33. Take heart, I have overcome the world for you. And a few minutes earlier, we have taken the Holy Communion, and we saw how he overcame the world for us. He took upon himself all our pains, he took upon himself. Everything. And then he was put on the cross, he died, he was buried, but he overcame the world. The scripture says, when he rose from death on the third day, he overcame the enemy, he overcame the devil. His resurrection gives us victory. If the demons, if the devil could not hold him in death, if he rose again, he overcame the ruler, he overcame the devil, him who brings our suffering to us. So he says, be of good cheer, be encouraged, I have overcome the world for you. So let us be encouraged, even this morning, whatever we are going through. Jesus Christ says, let us be encouraged. He is the one who has overcome for us. And when we are getting this encouragement and we are on this side of brokenness, I was thinking about it when preparing for to speak today. And I was thinking of many times when we are in brokenness,
But there is also some other times when things are so good and we feel that it is all okay. And in fact, when I'm speaking and I'm saying, you might be here and you are listening to me when you are broken, it might be that for you, you are saying, I'm not broken. In fact, things are okay for me. I ate breakfast. I've got no pain. My children are okay. My family is okay. My account is okay. In fact, I am okay. And then we are talking of brokenness. When somebody is feeling, yes, that is me, you are at that point where you feel, I'm not there. It is them who are broken. But then as I was preparing, I remembered that it is also true to me. There is sometimes, though I come from Africa, but let me tell you, there is also that time when it has been all well. But surprisingly, I am aware of this. No matter who you are and who I am, there will always be that time when you are seated and you are thinking everything is okay. But then all of a sudden, unexpectedly, a brokenness comes. Sometimes you make just a slight mistake and you are broken and it has shattered the whole of your life. You are not alone. There are others who also did the same. All things were just going on well. All of a sudden, what happened? Just something happens and the joy is overturned into sorrow. I'm not a prophet of doom, but listen to this. It's going to happen. That's what happened with Jesus. That's what he's telling them. That's why I said I'm not a prophet of doom. Actually, after this, read that chapter 15 from verse 18 of the Gospel of John. Read that chapter 16. He is with his disciples. He's a miracle worker. All of a sudden, he's telling them, doom, it's gonna be, you are gonna face persecution. But I like that he does not leave them with, it's gonna happen, you'll be persecuted, you'll face persecution. But he ends with hope. When you find yourself there, I've told you in advance, I will be with you. Don't lose hope, for I have overcome the world for you. You know what? I want to say the same thing that Jesus said to them, to each one of us. Let us be of good cheer. Even at that time, the disciples were told, when it shall happen, don't fall. I'm telling you in advance, don't fall. Be encouraged if you are there today as you listen to me. There is a Jesus. There is a Jesus who is watching you from above. And you know what? There is nothing that can be hidden from him. The author of Psalms, and it is written that it's a song of David. In Psalms 139, he says, where can I go and hide from the Lord? If I go high to the mountain, his eyes are watching me. If I go to the deep of the sea, his eyes are watching me. If I go to the darkest place, he is still watching me. He sees from all over. He sees even what we are not able to see. And therefore, I want to tell you, wherever you are at this point as you are listening to me, there is a God who is watching you in your brokenness and whatever you might be going through. This is the encouragement. The one who says that when it shall happen, do not fall astray. He is watching you. If you're listening to me, when you are feeling like you are going to give up, you are so broken, you cannot take it anymore. You cannot even continue with life and you cannot continue in this suffering. Good news to you. He is watching you and he's looking at you and he's saying, do not lose hope. Do not fall astray. I am still your God. I am caring. I am concerned. Messi, just simply sweep rush to a story we find in the Bible of some people who are so happy. All of a sudden, they got sad news. In the book of Jonah, the whole book majors mostly on the person Jonah. But then when thinking about today and the continuation of the series, my mind went to the city where he was sent. The Bible says Jonah was a man of God. The city he was sent to, called Nineveh, was the greatest city at that time. And my mind went to a great city at that time of the Assyrian. Just like U.S. is the greatest city, nation in the world. And kind of the scripture says, there was all the merry, all the fun, there was all the fantasy, there was all the good life that was going on. But how many people knows that in the midst of partying, many times partying ends up with mixing with some things that are not pleasing to God? How many here know that sometimes when we are in our merry and happy, the happiness and that good life, sometimes it ends up with something that is not pleasing to God? So the scripture says, the city of Nineveh, people are living the normal life, just like some of us are. I said earlier, you might be wondering about any kind of a brokenness. But the scripture says, as they were in that normal life, and things were good and they were happy, then the scripture says, God calls Jonah, a prophet. He tells him, rise and go to the people I'm sending you to. And do you know what kind of a message he's sent with? He's not told, go and tell them they will prosper, they will continue, and the city will continue to grow, and they will overtake, and they will take over. But he's sent with a message of doom. He is told, Jonah, wake up, go and tell these people, I've given them 40 days. And in 40 days, that city is no more. Why? In their happy life, and being the greatest city at that time, they were doing things that were unpleasing to God. And I can imagine then, people in the city sees this man who is coming. There is a way, the books of history, and those artists and the people that are good in graphics are used of showing us the picture of a prophet of that time. A guy with a robe, a guy who never shaved, and he had a goatee, which is wrong, and he walked with a staff. And I believe that Jonah now appears in that city having the same kind of an image that people are having at that time. And he feels like he will not go, and the story merges with him. So I skip him because I want to talk about the city. After he has been swallowed by the fish and is vomited, and now this is the second time he finds himself in this city where people are having party, they are celebrating. And then when he wakes up from that big fish, that's a story of another time, the Bible says, yeah, because I'm sure if I go to it, you'll ask, he was in a belly of a fish for 3 days. Is it really no more? So let us keep that aside. But now the scripture starts in Jonah chapter 3, which you found in the pamphlet you got when you're coming in. It starts with the story where now he has been vomited and he finds himself in that city. People are happy, happy, happy. And then when he comes out, God appears to him again and he tells him for the second time. I like that it is saying for the second time he was told, go and tell the city. What? Doom. So I imagine he comes up. Everybody has got a picture of the figure of a man of God and a prophet of that time. They cannot mistake. That's how those graphics and those books shows. And the guy, when he comes, he's finding people who are in the party. And all of a sudden, he comes with a scripture of one statement. And he never preached for that minute like me. He just comes from one corner, finds people are very happy. He tells them, in 40 days, you're destroyed. He goes to the other corner, Nineveh, in 40 days, gone. He goes to the other corner, you have 40 days, boom, you're done. And then The guy goes to the mountain and he says, I know I'm a man of God. And when God says, he does. And I'm sure even this time, he's not going to disappoint me. This city, gone. 40 days, they are gone. And he goes to the mountain and he says, here I am, God, let them go fall. Doom, they are done. But then the scripture says, when the message reached these people, I believed why I used that portion. People who were happy, given a message of doom, they were broken. And the scripture says, they received that message. And when they received that message, that is Jonah, that is the book of Jonah from verse 1. Verse 4, he is told, go. But then, in verse 7, he gives them that message of doom. But then when they listened to this message, the book of Jonah shows that these people broke. They cried to God. They repented their sins. And when this word reached the king, the scripture says, when this word reached the king, he was broken. He imagined his well-established city, and in 40 days, it will be gone. And he joined together with the people of the city. They repented before God. He made a king's declaration. Everybody in the city has to go into fasting. Even the animals has to go to fasting. And then we have to wear clothes and cover ourselves with ashes. That was their traditional or their cultural way of repenting. That when a person felt broken, a sign of their brokenness was to remove the garment and the good clothes, wear the sack, cover themselves with ashes to show the sign of their brokenness. And in that story where I'm heading to, it is verse 10. The Bible says in verse 10, when God saw what they did in their brokenness, what did they do? Then verse 10 starts with, when God saw what they did. Before I continue with the other part of that sentence, or that verse, let me ask, what do you do in your brokenness? For them, it was the brokenness due to their sin. They felt they have sinned against God, so they did something which God saw. We have a choice too. In our brokenness, we can do something. The problem is, if we would make, you know, that one we are given a choice. When you feel broken, what do? You can feel broken and feel like giving up. I don't blame you. We are all human beings. There are those times we feel that we cannot take anymore. But I put a pause there to say, for them, they took a step which God saw. And I want to encourage us in our brokenness. We can take a step towards the one who said in the Gospel of John, when these things happen, I am telling you in advance, so that when they fall, he is giving us a kind of a guidance. What shall we do? We remember he has overcome it for us. We remember what he was saying in that John chapter 16, verse 33? You will face many troubles. But when the troubles come, be of good cheer. Be encouraged. I have overcome for you. Sometimes as human beings, we might forget to turn to him. And sometimes we take a step of giving up. We feel like we cannot take it. And we might take a negative step. But let us remember, he is saying, call to me at that time. His ear is so attentive. I will hear you. For them, in verse 10, it says, when he saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and he did not bring on them the destruction he had intended. What he had intended, it was overturned by the action that they took. Here, what I want to say is, the step we take, it can reverse a negative thing, a negative consequence of our choice. We can take a step that will bring a positive consequence. I remember being told at certain times, when you are angry, do not speak and do not take action. Why? In that brokenness which raised the anger and the rage, you can take a step which will bring about. It's out of the brokenness. It's not a choice. I am broken. But what action am I taking? Perhaps if I kept quiet, I could have saved something. But in our weakness of not being able to do that, let us remember there is a God. There is a Jesus who has overcome for us, and he is able to help us in our weaknesses. He is able. When we are weak, he is strong. Paul says he was tempted in the same way like us, yet he did not see. Actually, Hebrews chapter 4, it's one of the encouragements that I get. It talks of Jesus as the high priest who is greater than every other high priest. And Paul, showing how great Jesus is in our weaknesses, he says, he is now seated on the right side of the Father, and he is not a priest like any other, but he is a high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our times of our weakness. For he was tempted in the same way with us, yet without sin. Every time I read that, it encourages me. But I pray for the last part of it. He was tempted like me, and yet without sin. And I always pray, Jesus, if you face what I am facing, and yet without sin, help me as a believer, so that when I am also tempted, I will go through it. And I will go without sinning. But let us be. Then he continues to say, please read that chapter. It is the chapter 4 of Hebrews. It says that due to that reason, that he understands us and he is able to sympathize with us, then it says we can approach the throne, his throne of grace, with confidence. Knowing that it is not us, it is him who overcame on our behalf. He who went without sin. Now, because of him, then we can approach this throne of grace and his mercies with confidence about Jesus Christ. Let me end the encouragement for today. In our weak people, broken people, and a big God, by mentioning four things about our God. And sometimes, when we think of these four things about our God, perhaps it will help us during our brokenness to take the right step. When we come to the end of this service, I would like you to go out with this. In your brokenness, in our brokenness, we have a God. We have a God. We have Jesus who overcame the world for us. I'll talk about these four things using the scripture, Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. And I am using the words of God himself. he described himself as a God of these four. First, or kind of looking back to where this three is, chapter 3, verse 7 to 10 is coming from, it is when the children of Israel are under slavery in Egypt. And it was not for a short time. It was for 400 years and 30. Over 400 years of his children suffering under slavery. Then as they are suffering, the Bible says they cried to him. So if we look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, God now calls Moses. He sees that burning bush. When he sees that burning bush, he comes closer to check. It is burning. It is not getting consumed. Then a voice comes from the fire, says, Moses, Moses. And then as he continues now, he started describing himself to Moses. In verse 7, he said, the Lord said to Moses, indeed, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. He is calling Moses, and he wants to send him to these people. So he says, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. As you listen to me, there is a God in heaven who sees. I said earlier, he sees even what nobody sees. Even the person seated next to you might not see and know the kind of a brokenness that you're going through. But be encouraged. There is a God in heaven, and he says he is a God who sees. He has seen you. He is seeing what you're going through. And anytime, wherever you will be, whatever will be broken, breaking you, just see him saying, I can see your misery. He continues to say, I have heard the cry, I have heard them cry out because of their slave drivers. Brothers and sisters, our God hears. He is the one who says, call to me and I shall answer. So in your brokenness, call to him. He shall see you, hear you. He sees, he hears. Then he continued to say, I am concerned about their suffering. And you might be wondering, is there anybody who cares? Is there anybody who is concerned? Be you encouraged. Even if the person next to you or the ones who are supposed to show concern is no longer showing concern. Is it your spouse? Is it your parent? Is it your children? No, he says he is concerned. And the next one he said, so I have come down to rescue them. He is able to come down. At the end of the service, there is a God who sees. There is a God who hears. There is a God who is concerned. And there is a God who comes to rescue. In our times of brokenness, let us turn to him. He is great. He is big. He sees. He hears. He is concerned. And he comes to deliver us. Let us pray. Lord God, you are so big. You are bigger than our problems. You are greater than our problems. And we thank you for your word that in our brokenness, you see. In our brokenness, you hear our cry. And in our brokenness, you are concerned. And you come to deliver. I pray that you may do it today. For each one of us, may you hear our cry. For any broken person in our midst, O God, may you show that you are concerned. May you heal the sick. May you encourage. May you heal the brokenhearted. May you give hope where there is hopelessness. May you give confidence. And may you show that you're with us just by answering our prayer and showing your greatness in our brokenness. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.